and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the Sunshine Boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
Last you heard Mayor Sarid talk about wedding planning in India. Today, we bring you the reform saga of a gentleman whose brand has changed how India dressed and does up their homes.
I remember when we bought our first car, the car was broken. And he took it out of the showroom and it broke down. First hand, brand new. And the guy said, jab ye gaadi Mumbai se Delhi aati hai, yakni Kolkata se Delhi jab gaadi aati hai, don't think of it because I know it will be ambassador. Wo driver aise chalate hain ki gaadi kharab hi aa jaati hai. It was not shipped, the car was driven.
Oh my God.
And what they used to do is they used to, so when you got the car, it had 1800 kilometers on its odometer. And it had a few accidents on the way.
Established in 1960 by John Bizzell, an American working for the Ford Foundation, Fab India started out by exporting home furnishing. In 1976, the company opened its first store in Greater Kailash in New Delhi, and today has a network of over 180 stores across the country. Fab India is synonymous with Indian ethnic, both in clothing and home decor. To think that this was a business that till the mid-90s was completely export-oriented is very surprising. The turnover of the company till 2014 was in excess of 1,000 crores. William Bizzell, Managing Director of Fab India, son of John Bizzell, takes us through both his personal journey and Fab India's professional journey since the reforms of 1991, from the days when a phone connection actually meant a party, to a craftsman's evolving aspirations for their children. This is the Fab story of
Fab
India.
Fab India. Celebrate India.
I came into the workforce in 91.
In 91, yes. And so, but you formally took over in 98?
99. I really full-time joined the workforce in 91.
Okay.
And so I have been working for 25 years. So there are a lot of people like me who started work in 91.
Yeah.
And when we started work, we saw the last year of the old system where, you know, if you went abroad, you had to file in like 8 different forms had to be filled and everything you needed. And we saw the change from the old system to the new system. And I remember how complicated everything was. Everything was complicated. Opening a bank account was complicated. Applying for a phone was about impossible. I mean, I remember once someone had a party and gave mithai and threw a party when they got their phone in Delhi, 5 years after waiting for 5 years. We had this incredible mentality of scarcity. A bottle of shampoo was considered a luxury. So for me, 1991 was like a new dawn. It was like a brand new dawn. The sun came up. And otherwise, before that, you having to go to a government office for every little thing. You know? The other big revolution I remember soon after that was within a few years, you had these STD PCOs. To us, this was like some unbelievably phenomenal thing. This was the most... And this is before mobile phones. And don't forget, even then, landlines were very difficult to get. So... Yeah. What happened in every small town, village, these STD booths opened by the thousands, like tens of thousands. I mean, it was like a revolution. Within 2 years, the whole country had STD.
Reforms meant many things to Bizzell, whose work has taken him across the country and around the world. In his interactions with us, Bizzell mentioned how everything in India required paperwork and government approvals at one point. And while he felt the impact of the reforms in many spheres, service is where it ranked the most.
I remember the first time I took a Jet Airways flight was 1993. Just check this fact. I think Jet Airways are... And I remember that we arrived at the airport and you were treated very nicely and you were greeted on the plane. As opposed to, I remember Indian Airlines where routinely when we'd be flying to small towns, the flight would be 4 hours late, 6 hours late. And you were never given... any explanation. I remember once the flight was 8 hours late and the guy said 15 minutes. Every 15 minutes he said
15 minutes more.
And so these things were, we just took them for granted. I mean, you took them for granted. The idea that you got into a clean plane with a nice staff and people smiled at you and you, there was Jet Airways, East West, there was Damania and there was Modi Luft. And they felt like they were, and they served you beer on board the flights.
Okay.
They served alcohol in those things for a brief period. I mean, I remember when a first mall opened, it was pretty amazing to go into a mall.
Yeah.
It felt like we were really... Because before that, everybody went... If you wanted to experience a mall, you went to Dubai.
Yes.
So it was
the closest sort of destination.
So that was kind of the anecdotal references to liberalization. You know, things were the idea that you would get service, because before that you never got service.
Branded consciousness and retail awareness are the two things that came into the consciousness of the Indian consumer as the markets opened up.
So liberalization brought two revolutions that came right after liberalization. The first was the move from unbranded to branded. There was, in people's minds, they began to, the new aspirational India began to want brands. So that was the first revolution. You move from unbranded to branded. So, and this coincided, what we did was, and we did this in exactly, we did this in 1996. We decided to go in for retail, domestic retail. So we moved away from exports. Between 96 and 2000, we made a concerted decision to move away from exports, which seemed to be a very stupid thing at that time, because everybody was in the export business. That's where you made the money. The other revolution that happened immediately post-liberalization is the idea of organized retail. Because you could, thanks to liberalization, you could get investments, you could raise equity, finance, you could, banks became more liberal about lending. That was another advantage. So people decided to go to organized retail. The idea of a retail experience where you'd come into a brightly lit mall and, you know, have a meal, watch a movie, go shopping, that was the other revolution. That was the second revolution that came. And so liberalization brought these two revolutions. It brought the credit card. Nobody had credit card.
Home furnishing has been one of the pillars of Fab India since its inception in 1960. It further got a fillip with India's real estate boom. Bizel spoke to us about how Indians who would earlier buy a house only post-retirement were now becoming homeowners within months of earning their first paychecks. Young couples were investing in property, as were singletons, thanks to the concept of mortgages and easy loans. And with home ownership came pride and a desire to do it up. And that's where Fab India came in.
What about for you? How did how did these things come about? First car, first house.
For example, when people don't own their property, they're not going to spend a lot of money on it. You're not going to get curtains. You're not going to. People would get hand-me-downs and put them up. But the second you buy your own house, you say, okay, it's my house. I want to invest in the curtains. I want to have blinds. I want to have a nice rug on the floor. I want nice furniture.
Yeah.
So we saw a boom in all these things. Otherwise, why would you use hand-me-down furniture from your grandfather? And most importantly, you got the sense post-liberalization that your future would be much better than your past. And this mental change was the real revolution of liberalization. Everybody in the youth in India at that time suddenly got this idea that the future would be better than the past. So then, if you think your future is better than your past, you invest in a house, you invest in a car, you in your parents. And often your parents will be shocked, ki aapne gaadi kyun khareed li, humne to gaadi 60 साल की उम्र में खरीदी थी और वो भी सेकंड हैंड ली थी. I mean, there was a robust market in second hand cars. I remember a friend of mine's dad bought a second hand car. He said इसमें एक ही प्रॉब्लम है, धक्का लगा के स्टार्ट.
Fab India was an export oriented business. In the mid 90s, they realized that the biggest markets perhaps was right outside their doors. This was an observation that has been made to us by another gentleman with handicrafts whose story you'll hear in the coming weeks.
So the thing is that The big change pre and post liberalization was one of choice. Pre liberalization, you bought cottons not because you liked them, but because there was no other choice. There was terraline, terricot, and cotton. And if you wore terricot in summer, you often broke up in a rash because it doesn't breathe. So people didn't have a choice. So it's not that they were buying out of choice, like you bought out of choice.
Yeah.
You could go to H&M and buy an outfit, you could go anywhere. They were buying out of necessity. We went from a forced consumption economy where you basically had no choice to one where you had a lot of choice. And so what we had to do was we had to improvise the offering to make sure we could appeal to customers with newer designs and ideas and creativity, presenting stuff. You know, in everything we do, you had to do, because if you didn't do it, you basically lost out.
Bizel's tales of travelling through the hinterland during the 90s to meet with craftsmen make for interesting hearing. From sleeping on a table in a guest house to travelling on a dirt track for procurement of goods from craftsmen was nothing short of an adventure. Today, of course, it's a different story. Here, he talks about the Indian consumer's evolution of choice as well as how craftsmen who earlier aspired for white-collar jobs for their children now want them to carry their legacy forward.
There's been a big change. Earlier, I remember just in the period of liberalization, say 92 or 93, I went to see some of our producers in Madhya Pradesh, one of my colleagues. And I remember we took a car from Indore and we drove and the road was dusty and broken, and then it became a dirt track in places, and you reached there and you worked there and you sat at the guys. So it was just a totally different way. You didn't have, and you place an order and you'd say expected delivery date would be October, na October mein aaye, na aaye, November mein aaye, December mein aaye. Today you send the order to most craftsmen on email today.
What about craftsmen? Do they still want their future generations to continue to be in the same profession, or has there been a change there also in terms of their children wanting
that's
to not
that's surprising.
To,
now, for a while, there was in the late 90s and early part of this decade, the first part of this decade, a lot of them wanted their children to become CAs or become whatever, engineers or whatever. But that's changed now because they're making good money, and now they realize that this is a good to run your own business.
Yeah.
So now they're encouraging their children who are educated to come back and do, you know,
continue the legacy of
what. And that's great because their children will be very invested in the business. And we've seen that happening in at least 70-80% of the cases, which is really
which
important.
Parts, if you could tell us.
All around the country. All around. It's not a phenomenon. You know, so they're, and one of the other nice things is they're investing in their units. So it's great, it's wonderful.
In 2014, FabIndia said it would invest close to 150 to 175 crore over the next couple of years to run franchisee stores in smaller cities across the country. When Bizel first started out, he thought his business was only meant for the metropolitan cities. But then liberalization changed all of that.
When we first decided to go into retail, we thought that there would only be five cities we could go to: Delhi, Bombay, Calcutta, Madras, and Bangalore. You didn't even think about anything beyond that. As you see, what happens is as the economy grew at 7, 8, 9%, what happened with growth in India is that first tier 1, tier 2 cities became markets like Dehradun, and we could think of going to places like first cities like Pune and Hyderabad. So first we had the five cities. Then you added Pune. Then you added Hyderabad. Then suddenly cities like, then you added, okay, you was like, wow, Chandigarh, Dehradun, Amritsar, Jaipur, all these. And now actually the Jodhpurs and Udaipurs are becoming
Nasi.
Markets in Nasik. Exactly. And that was because liberalization basically put more hands, more disposable income. And the good thing about liberalization is it reduced the tax rate. So what happened is the marginal tax rate went from 90% to 30%. And that put a lot of white money in the hands of individuals.
A sense of pride in being Indian and the awareness of history and heritage. These are just some of the factors that Bizel feels have contributed to the growth of the Indian ethnic retail market. In his conversations with us, Bizel talks about how social media and television are actually erasing the differences between big cities and smaller towns. The mediums that influence and dictate fashion trends are easily accessible to both the young man in Kharagpur as they are to a girl in Mumbai. We do a particular style of clothing and it picks up everywhere. There is no difference between tier 1 and tier 4 cities anymore, says Bizel. And that perhaps is the greatest takeaway from his story. Reforms as a great leveler. Interview conducted by Vidhi Chaudhary. This podcast was produced by Anik Biswas.